Blog Talk Radio.
Until you crack that cloud one historic day, Father God,
will be coming and going as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you, Father God, to anoint these lips of clay, to bring a ream of words to those that may or may not know of you in the pardon, hallelujah, of their iniquities. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom, for those that are hurting deep within the pit of their souls. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' name, and we shall all around the world to say amen and amen. Hallelujah. And so, as I first stated, I hope and pray that you had a beautiful day on today and that God is yet working in your life. God is yet opening doors where doors have been closed shut, that God is yet in the miraculous miracle working business. Hallelujah. And I know that his business is good. And so, sermon on tonight is God's unlimited mercy for sin. Hallelujah. And we will be taking the key scripture from the law of Romans 6 and 12. And it reads like this. It says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it. And that's found once again in the law of Romans 6 and 12. All right. We're going to go to our second key scripture. And it's coming out of the law of Philippians 3 and 13 through 14. And it reads like this. Forgetting those things which are behind, and I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And that's found once again in the law of Philippians 3 and 13 through 14. And so, I am reminded that there was about 8,500 patients of a local hospital. They had received their bills along with some shocking news that they had died. Hallelujah. One worker said that she was pretty sure that she was not dead. But she murmured that you never know, she said to the hospital, explained that it was just a computer glitch. And all it had amounted to so far, she added, is a pretty funny story to tell and a small annoyance. You might be surprised to learn about your own death when you read the law of Romans 6 and 6. And it reads like this. It says that our old man was crucified with Christ, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And if you are a follower of Jesus, you died to sin. That's verse 2. But we know that we still sin even though we belong to Christ. So you might ask, what does it mean to be crucified with him? It means we no longer have to be overpowered by temptation. And we can choose to obey God through his power. We know that commentators also said that believers would not experience perfect deliverance from sin in this age. So if they never sin at all, what has been shattered is not the presence of sin, but the mastery of sin over believers. We can now walk in newness of life. That's verse 4. You can take courage in knowing that one day when we are resurrected to life with the Lord, hallelujah, we'll be removed from the presence of sin forever. We'll know that the Savior can break sin's dominion, the victory he won long ago. In him there's freedom from bondage. He's able to conquer the foe. We know that our greatest freedom is freedom from sin. Hallelujah. God went to the cross and he conquered sin, both death, hell, and the grave. And we know that that is some of the ways that Christians have their sin. They know that Jesus paid the penalty, but somehow they just can't let go of the guilt. And it is if Christ's suffering was not enough, and they must contribute some of their own anguish by continually laminating their failures. They want to keep copies of everything they've done. And this is not, this is really not so good to do, because it can be saw as foolish. And we know that the Apostle Paul wanted nothing of this. He accepted as accomplished fact the removal of all his guilt before God, because Christ's death has Mark paid in full over his account. The memory of early days remained vivid, but it didn't weigh him down. Everything that happened to us is retained in that remarkable filing system called memory. A wise forgetfulness based on Christ's atoning sacrifice can keep all guilt feelings from cluttering up your life. The Lord forgive us our sins because of Calvary, and he himself remembers them no more. So let us not be burdened with their memory, but look ahead to all he has in store. We know that guilt is a burden. God never intended his children to bear. Hallelujah. And we know that it is such a blessing to be a recipient of God's unlimited mercy. And that is our sermon on tonight. Unlimited mercy for sin. Hallelujah. We know that God, unlimited mercy, even when he should judge us according to our sins, he continued to give us something we do not deserve. And that is, my brother and my sister, mercy. Even though it is undeserved, he showers it upon you and I. Unlimited mercy. God shows us his mercy when he demonstrates his pity. Hallelujah, Jesus. When he demonstrates his compassion. When he demonstrates his gentleness. When he demonstrates his patience. What us? That's found in the law of Psalms 123. We know that behold, as the eyes of the servant look unto the hands of their master, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hands of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God. Hallelujah, until that he has mercy upon us. That's verse 2. And we know that he continues to petition the Lord, saying, have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease, and with the contempt of the proud. That's verse 3 through 4. We know that many of our ancestors, the men and women who feared God and experienced his mercy, could identify with the experience of the psalmist. They trusted God for their deliverance and passed that heritage down to their truth. Similarly, Psalms 103 and 17 reminds us that the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children true, because of his servant's love for us. I'm sorry, because of the covenant sent for us. God faithfully expresses his mercy toward us. We should never fail to thank him for such mercy, unlimited mercy. And we know, hallelujah, that God showed his mercy and his grace toward us. Those of us that still living in sin, God continues to show his grace and his mercy toward you and I. Hallelujah. We know that those that continue to doubt that God is in existence, he continually to show his unlimited mercy toward us. And I want to encourage you tonight to take hold of God's unlimited mercy that he so graciously extends toward you and I.
Heaven help the black man.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Struggle one more day.
God love you.
Heaven help the white man.
In spite of what you might have done. You say, well, I've done so much in my lifetime, O Lord, that I'm just so shameful of the things that I've done. But I want to encourage your heart on tonight that you can lay aside every weight. Hallelujah. Of this old mortal body. You can lay it aside because God has paid the ultimate price for your sin and my sin. And so tonight, you can place all of your wrongdoing, all your guilt, all of your shame into the seat of forgetfulness. And that's where God places your sins, my sins, and the sins of this universe. He places those sins in the sea of forgetfulness. God will not remind us ever again. God doesn't do like you and I, as small people on earth. Sometimes we hold grudges and we hold our faults and our sins and our wrongdoings against one another. You say, well, you remember when you done this? Remember when you done that to me? Well, see, God takes all of our sins and he placed them in somatically into the sea of forgetfulness to remember them anymore. So I would suggest you that if anybody has wronged you, if you have wronged someone, to ask God to forgive you and have mercy on you, because you might not have an opportunity to bring closure to your conscience, closure to your heart, closure with God. So it's time that we should lay aside others' condemnation and lay it at the feet of Jesus. God, hallelujah. He just took it upon himself to bear all of our sin. Because God didn't do any sin, the Bible says. God was not a sin. Neither was a God found in his mind. So we know that Jesus went to the cross. And he didn't get a kick out of going to the cross. I want to bring that to the center stage, that God did not get a kick out of going to Calvary's cross. But Jesus, being the obedient son that he was and that he is to come, Jesus said that it's not my will, hallelujah, that I go to the cross, but it is the will of my Father. And so Jesus, being the obedient son, he went to Calvary cross and gave his life for you and I. And I'll tell you, woo, hallelujah, there's no greater love than a man to lay down his life for a friend. And I tell you, God laid down his life. He laid down his life for you and I. That we have a second time around. A second chance to get it right. A second chance
at
living for God. Those of us that are backsliders and that had once known God and had turned back into the world of sin. God has showed you mercy. Unlimited. That's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about God's unlimited mercy that he showed toward you and I. And he gave us another chance. You know, the devil could have sucked us out to cold grave right above now. But God so graciously extended his grace and his mercy toward you and I. And he gave us a second chance to get it right. And so I would not take this lightly, but to take it as a vow to God, a solemn prayer, a solemn vow to God, that because God had extended his unlimited mercy, that your vow in return will be to live a life of Christ throughout the remainder of your life. That's the least we can do, because we cannot pay God. Even if we had the money, we could not pay God, because it was paid with money. It was paid by sweat and blood and day-night strife across our Lord and Savior's back.
You might want to say it.
He died a death that you and I could never, never exemplify. We could never take on such, we could never take on such, how I want to say that.
The Lord to keep.
Such, a cause, because it was so humongous until the person that was fit for the sign had to be sinless. So you and I didn't even match up. We didn't even make the list. We didn't even make the grade, because person had to be sinless. And Jesus is the only one that fit the criteria of sinless. That was Jesus Christ. We know that our mother and our father and our parents and our grandparents, they loved us, but they could not even go even as a sacrificial gift, because they were born in sin. But Jesus was the only one that was not born in sin. Neither was he shaken in it. We were the one that was born in sin. And it takes Jesus Christ to go on our behalf. So we're talking about tonight God's unlimited mercy for sin. Our sin. Your sin. My sin. The sin of the universe. So those of you that has your hand in God's hand, those of you that have your hand to the plow, don't look to the left, not to the right, but keep looking onward and upward, Keep looking to Jesus, whom is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. And in closing, hallelujah, if this program, hallelujah, excuse me, I'm a little ahead of myself. If I hope and pray that I've said something to impact your mind and infuse your spirit, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth, and if this program has been a blessing, hallelujah, in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petition that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down and trail on your behalf, you're encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Your station has been Block Talk Radio. Your program has been Oh, Messiah. Send your correspondence. Make them attentive to Overseer Janet Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California 95020. The email address, Janet, all about God at yahoo.com. We will allow the selection of this. We will allow the selection bring this program to its closure. And until we meet again, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in. Till we meet across these skyways and byways, you are most certainly encouraged to continue to go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye.
From the small.